After escaping slavery in Egypt, the Israelites set out towards the Promised Land. While traveling near Mount Sinai, God gave the Israelites' leader Moses specific commands about the best way to live. Some of these commands were about the exact way that the Israelites should worship God, including where to worship. For some time, Moses had set up a tent outside the Israelites' camp where he met face to face with God. When Moses entered the tent, a pillar of cloud would stay at the entrance of the tent. When the Israelites saw the cloud, they would each stand at the entrance of their own tents, worshiping God. They called this place the Tent of Meeting. But now, God gave specific instructions to Moses to build a new place of worship. So Moses gathered together all of the Israelites and spoke to them. "This is what the Lord has commanded," Moses told them. "From what you have, take an offering for the Lord." Moses then listed out all of the specific materials that were needed to build this new tent, which would be called the Tabernacle. He asked the Israelites to volunteer to donate the materials needed from what they already owned. Everyone who was willing brought their materials as offerings to God. They brought gold jewelry, such as earrings, rings, and ornaments. They brought silver, bronze, and wood. They brought colorful yarn and linen, goat hair and leather, just as Moses had requested. The leaders of Israel also brought their precious stones and gems. Using these materials, skilled artisans and workmen constructed the tabernacle. For the first time in their lives, the Israelites had a specific place where they could gather to worship God and to bring their animal sacrifices for the priests to offer on their behalf.
Good morning. We are Mike and Lynette Volkers, and we are just blessed to have this opportunity to be with you today. Like to say hello to everybody in the room and everybody outside. We have people outside and everybody that may be viewing online. Thank you for joining us. Last Sunday, we heard from Russ Wiegand, who shared his wisdom on giving time. Today we will be talking about chapter 19 in the Believe series, which is Giving My Resources. Let's start out in prayer. Dear Lord, in your Son's name we pray. We thank you for the people that are joining us today to hear your word, and we pray that this word reaches those that may not know you yet. Lord, we just give this up to you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. So I'm a visual learner, and word pictures help me a lot. So because we're talking, you get to listen. So bear with us as we share with you the tale of two seas. Now, if you pull out your Bible and look in the back and pull up the maps, or easier yet, just pull up Google and look at the Jordan River, which is situated over in Israel, you will see that the Jordan River sources two bodies of water, a smaller Sea of Galilee to the north and a larger Dead Sea to the south. Now, for your viewing pleasure, Mike is channeling I'm a huge fan of Bob Ross, so he's channeling some Bob Ross artistic abilities in creating a visual for us. So back to the Bible reading. So if you've done any reading in the Bible, you know that a lot of activity occurs around the Sea of Galilee during the life of Jesus and throughout the Gospels. So within history, are you almost done there? We need a visual,
yep.
Baby.
Yep.
All right. So throughout history, in Jesus's life, there was a lot of activity focused around the Sea of Galilee. It served as a major epicenter for trade. Towns and cities focused, towns and cities were around the Sea of Galilee. The plant life and animal life were just abundant in that area. Jesus and his disciples traveled by boat all around that, sharing the good word, enjoying in culture, just everything. The Sea of Galilee was the place to be. And even today, it's a major tourist attraction, destination. Now contrast that to the Dead Sea to the south. The Dead Sea is just that. It is dead. It's actually a lake and not a sea, and nothing really swims or grows in it at all. It's extremely salty, and its harsh environment makes it hard for animals, plants, and other aquatic organisms to flourish. So, in Hebrew, the Dead Sea is simply called the Sea of Death due to its scarcity of aquatic life. So extreme is the chemistry makeup of the Dead Sea that it actually discharges asphalt, spitting up small little pebbles and blocks of black substance that we use to pave parking lots. Maybe we could visit the Dead Sea to work on our parking lot. So to give the Dead Sea a little bit of credit, there are some very small establishments around it, and people will visit it for its mineral. Some people find that the mineral trades have had some benefits, so there's a niche crowd that will visit it. Overall, it's not the hub of abundance in life that the Sea of Galilee is. So really, there's a difference between these two seas. Both of these bodies, I'm gonna put that up. Sure. Both of these bodies are sourced by the Jordan River. The Jordan River, which we learned is, you know, comes from a Mount Hermon or something like that. So the Jordan River flows into the Sea of Galilee. It's active, it's moving, it's supplying stuff. And then it flows out into the Dead Sea. So the Jordan River sources the Sea of Galilee, and the Sea of Galilee's waters are in then turned to use to give back to the people in the land around it. The Sea of Galilee serves as a source of much of the drinking water of the country, as well as a source of irrigation to the farms nearby. The Dead Sea, on contrast, is, like I've said, a dead end. The Jordan rivers pour into the Dead Sea only to come to their termination spot. The Jordan's life-giving stream comes to that abrupt stop at the Dead Sea and loses all of its vitality and sustaining qualities. Now, while the same waters feed both the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, it's only when those waters are used and active and moving that they retain their productive community building value. The Sea of Galilee gives back out what it's receiving. What comes in goes out. It's moving. Whereas the Dead Sea, every drop of the Jordan River that enters the Dead Sea stays at the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea keeps it. So once the Jordan River's fresh waters stop flowing and halt, they become stale and salty and lose their ability to give life.
So how we deal with our resources multiplies how we impact the lives of those around us and our world.
So this contrast can serve as an analogy of what happens to us in relation to how we deal with what we have, or simply put, our resources. We can take the abundance that God has blessed us with and keep it moving, serving others and to future benefit them, out of a heart of gratefulness, thankfulness, and generosity.
Or we can take our resources and hoard it for ourselves, and out of fear of losing it. The ultimate impact depends on how we choose to use our gifts or resources once we receive it.
Mm-hmm. What we will find is that when we hoard the great gifts that God has given us, they lose their value and they are no longer life-giving. I'm a nurse by background, so oftentimes we will say, if you don't use it, you lose it, regarding a skill like an IV set or starting an IV or something. So that's very much can be applied to this as well. If we act out of abundance and keep those resources moving for the betterment of those around us, the value to us and to others can multiply beyond what we can have ever imagined. Not to mention blessing and bringing joy to those with whom we come in contact with. Everyone around us can benefit when we use our resources for others. And it's only when we are truly generous that we can live life to the fullest and also provide that same life to others.
So another churchy saying is, what you sow, you reap. This can be applied to the tale of two seeds as well. So as we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 10, reads this, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully, and God will generously provide you all that you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources, then produce a great harvest of generosity in you.
So people, when we talk about resources, will often think, especially when we're talking in a church setting, that it's just about money. While we think that God is talking about more. Even the video we watched earlier this morning refers to the donation, the skills, and of course the time and talents when describing the wide characterization of resources. A quick Google search lands us with this as the definition of resources: a stock or supply of money, materials, staff, and other assets that can be drawn on by a person or organization in order to function effectively. So we can see how this applies to resources in further scripture, but let's start by talking about
money. The only place in the Bible where God challenges us to test him is with the tithe. The sea analogy can be applied on how we manage our finances too.
Let me show you.
So
you get money, which it's not our money, it's his anyways. Money comes in. What are you going to do? Are you going to keep it active and give back out? Or when money comes in, are you going to hoard it? And is it going to become dead, like the Dead Sea?
Yep. Let's read what Malachi says in verses 10 and 11. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it.
So, fun fact about the Volkers is we have done the Dave Ramsey Money Financial Peace course. And in our family, he's the brains, I'm the spender. So I just want to give, go out to dinner and pick up checks all the time, because that's how I want to love on people. You also have to be wise about it and use those resources that God has given you. So for sure. So Proverbs, a couple other verses that you can put into your tool belt or you can reference when dealing or talking about money and how you are going to manage it is Proverbs 11:28, which says, "Trust in your money and down you go, but the godly flourish like leaves in the spring." And then Proverbs 3:9-10, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grain and your vats will overflow with good wine." So I think, like when we were talking about speaking on this, we're like, well, how are we as disciples of Christ using our resources? So a couple, I can be very analytical too. So one concrete example I can share with you on how we utilize our resources, kind of following the analogy of the Tale of Two Seas, is in the fall during canning season. I like to make my own or process my own spaghetti sauce. So that is a resource. I have the talent or the know-how how to do that. So if I do, let's say, I don't know, 40 quarts, because our family eats a lot of spaghetti sauce, or I will purposely produce more so I can give more. So just looking at some of the people in the room, I know that they've been recipients of my spaghetti sauce, because I'm like, here, this is yours. Let me give this out to you. You know, because the God gave me it. So what am I supposed to do? Analytical or not, I'm giving back out. So, and I've also seen where I've been blessed by that, because I can't grow a tomato. So I've been blessed with people giving me tomatoes or finding tomatoes, canning tomatoes for super cheap. And it's just fun for me to get to see how that whole reap and sow thing works for our lives.
Yes, and I love growing potatoes. I love fresh grown potatoes. And I had a friend at work that was doing a muscle building strength challenge, and he needed carbohydrates. So I'm like, you want some potatoes? And he loves potatoes as well. So I offered up some of my plants and, you know, the harvest that I got from my potatoes as well.
Yeah.
And he loved it. It was amazing. Yeah.
So, you know, the reap what you sow type thing is like, well, how do we get things back? You know, how you know, I've shared with the tomatoes how we've been blessed. But while we were talking about it, what we receive more than anything is the joy, this overwhelming peace. It's hard to understand
the joy of giving.
The joy of giving. That's what we're receiving. So much so, like when we think, well, yeah, we've been blessed financially. We definitely tithe. We believe in the power of the tithe, and the Bible tells us to do it. If there's one place that God tells me I can test him, okay, Lord. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to worry about different things. So, but for us, what we receive in return is this undescribable peace and joy, for sure. So, all right, enough of our soapbox. So where was I? Okay, so another, I love Proverbs. It's like life's God's little instruction book for us. Proverbs 11:24-25 says, "Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." And that is definitely the Tale of Two Seas. I keep wanting to say Tale of Two Cities. It's not that story. So the Dead Sea is stingy. It doesn't give out. It doesn't flourish. Nothing happens in the Dead Sea. Whereas the Sea of Galilee, it receives and it gives out, and it's winning.
Well, yep.
It's flourishing for sure. So, all right, I'm kind of distressed as I get into this. The Sea of Galilee is generous and it prospers, kind of what I just said. The big takeaway that I think we want you to share with or to take away from today is the Dead Sea teaches us a very valuable life lesson. Greed kills. You can just watch the news and see that happening. Selfishness will leave you lifeless. And when you don't know how to give, we die, right? Whether it's money, your gifts, knowledge, talent, or as, well, Russ gives talent and time, among other things. When we don't share what we know or keep our gifts to ourselves, will we eventually lose it? We'll end up like the Dead Sea. When we share what we have, no matter how small we think it is, the whole world benefits. A lot of people need you. They need what you have, and they need what you can offer. You want to play it big by simply sharing what you have. So another example that's not really money related, but a resource that I can think of concretely, because I do better with examples, is, as I'd mentioned before, I'm a nurse by background, and over the last 3 years, I've, practiced becoming an expert and becoming a SANE nurse, which is a specialized part of nursing that focuses on abused and sexually assaulted women. So God has given me not only this desire to care for this very specialized group of people, but He's also given me the skill. It has opened up doors that I can use this knowledge that I have to speak at community events. Now, what would happen if, how much am I stealing or taking away, robbing from community if, and from God, if I don't use that skill set He has given me to speak at the several community outreach events, where I can take that skill and not only share what God has given me, but hopefully plant some seeds of Christ, because I always drop in biblical scripture. So, and you do that too, whether I see our good friends, the Bussies here, I think you help them with your drywall ability when working in their bathroom or their basement. So it's not like you have to have $1 million to, you know, fund a whole mission trip. It can be sitting having coffee with a group of friends and listening. It can be, you know, offering a tool, like, I don't know, whatever. Or for me, like, what can I do? I think I'm also the cake boss, so I've done cakes for people, you know, in the family too. Like, oh, let me love on you. How can I love on you by giving the resources that God has given us with? So don't be like the Dead Sea. Give and stay alive. So and we're probably really ahead of time, but we're going to wrap this up real quick here. And as you reflect on the key question in chapter 19, which is, how do I best use my resources to serve God and others? Ask yourself, what sea are you most like? And when you think about the resources, we have a wonderful opportunity for you to practice what we've shared with you today. This, I think for the last four-ish years, we've participated in a community outreach program called Backyard Missions, where I love watching our whole body, our whole church body, come together and use their resources. So if you want that opportunity to practice giving your resources, sign up for Backyard Missions, which can be found on our website, which starts on July 28th. So none of what we have on this earth is ours anyways. And I don't know about you, I do not want to come face to face with Jesus one day and have Him ask me, why didn't you give that one girl a ride home? You had the ability to. Why didn't you use this skill? So for us, if I have the opportunity to help in whatever way, I don't want that to come back and be like, you didn't use what I gave you. So think about that. And again, Mike will be around for autographs if you want the picture of the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. But with that, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh, we just love you so much and thank you for your grace and your patience and your kindness, Lord, as we are learning how to become better disciples of you, Lord. Help us take this lesson today and be like the Sea of Galilee. Let us flourish and keep the gifts and resources that you have given us moving, Lord. And we lift up Pastor Aaron, Lord, as he continues on his sabbatical. Lord, just challenge him, break him, work in him, grow him, Lord, so when he comes back, he can just help New Day be like the Sea of Galilee. Lord, we love you so very much. We just give you this day in your precious name. We pray. Amen.
Thank you, everyone. That's all we have.